Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 99.
99.
We are one episode away from 100. I hear that's a big milestone in the podcast community.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, I think it's a lot. That's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes. 100 times we have been in front of the mic at least 100 times.
Yeah.
We've done a few special editions.
That's true.
So at least 100 times next week we'll be in front of the mic delivering you the good news and the good nerd quality of this show. And for those of you who have never listened before, this is a show, this is a nerdy show, where a married couple look at life through a nerdy lens. Now, today, we just this second, this moment, got out of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
That's right. We turned on the mics immediately. We've not talked about it.
We haven't talked about it, which the past couple of movies, we've kind of broken our rules a little bit.
And you said in the car, you were like, I'm going to talk about it. And I said, no.
No, you shut it down.
That's right, I
you
did.
Shut it down.
I did.
And so we're going to be, this is going to be our solo review, and the opener is going to be our normal format of spoiler-free, where we're going to give our first impressions, what we were expecting,
That's right.
We got, what we thought, whether or not you should see it, and then we'll go into spoiler territory. So we will let you know when we get into spoiler territory. But
yes.
Before we get into that, I want to ask a question to the audience. We want to do another Ask Me Anything session with you guys. We don't know when it's going to happen, but the last time we did it, we got a lot of great responses. I got a lot of great questions and emails and everything like that. What it is that because we're a married couple, and now that we're a married couple with a child, we ask you guys, hey, anything you want to know about us, about our history, about our nerd life, our married life. Some people asked us for advice about being married and being nerds and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would take our advice, but yeah. Just kidding.
And some people just ask us plain questions like, what did you think of this movie? Or things like that. So the call is out to you guys. If you want to know anything about us or have any need for any advice or anything like that, please write in by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Again, that's thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty or Twitter at @joinnerdparty. You can find me personally on Twitter at @theinsaneramen. We'd love to hear from you guys, and even if you don't have a question for us, if you have a show idea, we'll take that as well.
Yeah.
All right, so, Solo.
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 A Star Wars Story.
Now, we've talked about this a couple of times. Like, longtime listeners know that we've talked about it because this has been, as you know, like, we're tapped into the mainstream. And so we know when things are being made, as they're being made.
Huge Star Wars fans, both of us.
Big Star Wars fan. Both raised on it. Both in love with it. And one of the connecting points in our relationship.
Absolutely.
Like, when we started dating, like, when we found out that each other liked Star Wars, we're like, oh, wow, this is going to work.
That's right.
That was
the moment.
That was the clincher. that was it right there.
I didn't even need to know about your personality. I just needed to know that you love Star Wars.
Hey, when it's right, it's right, and it worked. This was by far, we made no allusion to it, and we didn't hide our feelings. This was by far our least hyped about Star Wars movie, new age Star Wars movie that has come out. Like, more so than Force Awakens, Last Jedi,
yeah.
Rogue One, Solo. Like, it was...
I think you had, like, a little bit higher expectations than I did about it going in, right? Like, if we talk about it.
I did have more expectations than you just because you had none.
That's true. I had a really hard time getting past the fact that, like, I didn't need this story. I feel like, that's how I was going in. I felt like I was hung up a little bit as a fan on the fact that we knew what Harrison Ford looked like when he was young, and it's Harrison Ford, so don't like tamper with it. So that was kind of my thing going in.
With this one, I wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't so much that I couldn't take somebody playing Han Solo who wasn't Harrison Ford. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me as much. I mean, because if it didn't bother me with Chris Pine and William Shatner, then it's not going to bother me with this one.
Okay.
But the thing with me is that I said the same when this came out, or when it was rumored to come out and then officially announced. I said the same thing that I said when people complained that Han Solo wasn't in Revenge of the Sith with Episode 3. To me, Han Solo does not need to exist before A New Hope. He entered into the universe in the cantina on Tatooine in Luke's life, and thus entered into the saga of Star Wars, and that's all we need to know.
You didn't really need him other than that.
Right. I don't need to know the backstory, because everything you need to know about the character is in that conversation in the cantina.
Well, and that's good writing.
It's great writing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into maybe first impressions.
Well, okay.
Or do you need to talk? Okay.
Well, going into it. Okay. So, like, walking into, so before it came out, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I mean, the Star Wars and Disney know that they're going to get us. Like, we're going to go see it.
Right.
Obviously.
If you're a Star Wars fan, you're probably going to go to see this movie.
And it sucks because I know that they have me.
They have our money.
They have me by the gizzard.
Yes.
And it's just, they know it.
Yes.
And I am very much the person who says, like, well, if you don't want to support something, if it doesn't interest you, then don't go. Well, I'm totally the hypocrite there. I was just like, eh, I don't really care. So maybe that's a good spot to be in, because you don't care. You could be pleasantly surprised. But then all of a sudden I started hearing some good things about it, where like some early reports were like, oh no, it's fun. It's a great ride. You know, it's a fun movie. Everyone kept saying fun.
Yeah. And some friends had seen it, and like, without giving spoilers away, they enjoyed it.
Yes.
But it was very mixed though.
But like, that's the thing. It's like, I got this onslaught of people saying it was a great ride, a fun ride. John Mills, who's the co-host of Aggressive Negotiations and Great Shot Kid, both Star Wars podcasts at thenerdparty.com. We don't always agree, but I always respect his opinion. And he said that it was a great ride, loved it, loved what the director did. And that gave me a lot of hope. I was kind of like, okay, cool. All right, maybe this will work out. But then all of a sudden I started seeing other people. It was like polar opposites. It was just like, oh, that was the worst live action Star Wars film.
Okay.
Other people saying it was great, as in fun. No one was saying, oh, this is the best thing ever since Empire. No one was saying that.
Okay.
So I was just like, I have no idea what I'm going to get. But because it's Disney, because it's Lucasfilm and modern Lucasfilm, excuse me.
Right.
I knew I wasn't going to get a bad movie.
Okay. All right. Well, and it's kind of fun to hear, like, even within our little community of the Nerd Party, that there is so many differing opinions and like just tastes, right?
It's
so much fun to like hear whether people liked it or not within our little community, because it just shows you like how many diverse opinions we have and how like someone could love it or someone could hate it, and it's the same movie.
It is great, because I feel like we have a great cross section with the Nerd Party because of what you just said. We have so many diverse opinions, and like, speaking of John Mills and Great Shot Kid, the other host is Mike Schindler, and Great Shot Kid is a Star Wars podcast. John loved it, thought it was a great thrill ride.
Yeah,
like that's how he described it, and like, he was super jazzed about it. Mike Schindler put it at the bottom of his Star Wars live action movie list.
Like below Clone Wars,
really? Below Phantom Menace. Okay. I mean, if you're putting something below Attack of the Clones, you do not like that movie.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So should we get into our spoiler free?
No, let's not. You're screwing up the format.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. No, let's not get into spoiler. You're saying spoiler free. Yes. So spoiler free reactions. I
thought you still were talking about how you felt going to the theater.
I apologize. So yes, spoiler free reactions. What did you think walking out of it?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
Oh, so straight up didn't like
it. I did not like it.
Not just meh.
No, I just don't care to see it again.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't care to see it either, but I thought it was fine.
Oh, really? I thought it was mediocre. The word walking out was mediocre.
And
timeline, a mess. Structure, a mess. Just like, so long. Structure, frustrating, mediocre.
That's so funny, because I thought the structure was fine. Like, I started, I started thinking about, I started immediately comparing it to Rogue One.
Okay.
Because you, how can you not? I mean, like, Rogue One is the first
a Star Wars story. Okay.
Yes. Rogue One was the first standalone.
Okay.
And of the new age Star Wars. And then you have this one. I thought the structure in Rogue One was a mess. It was horrible. We started jumping around like crazy, and the timeline was weird, and you're just like, why are we here? Why are we over here? Where's the protagonist? Who is the protagonist? And with this one, we jumped around a lot, but we followed Han Solo. We followed the protagonist. And so wherever he went, we went. And so it went okay in my mind structurally because I was along for the ride with him.
I felt the rewrites hard.
Okay.
I felt it hard.
I can get that.
Especially towards the end, and I'll get into what I mean by that when we get into our spoiler review. But towards the end, it was just so many reveals and twists and turns that I was just out of it. Like, I was not invested anymore. And to be completely honest, they didn't really grab me from the beginning.
Okay.
So the characters, like, that wasn't Han Solo. And I never got past it. And maybe that's my feeling. But, like, I think he did a fine job, but he wasn't Han Solo.
I can't say any negative things about the Alden, whatever name. I don't know his name. Young Han Solo. I can't say anything bad about Young Han Solo. I thought he did a fine job. I thought he did a great job of having the essence of Harrison Ford without doing a imitation.
Like, mimicking.
Yeah, and that's okay. A hard thing to do.
That is true.
That's a hard line to walk.
I'm just saying I wasn't invested. And I think partly it might be because I know that they're going to make it, too, to be completely honest. Like, I know how this ends a little bit. So I was kind of like, I guess maybe that's my fault too. Maybe I just needed to be more into it, but I just was not into this film at all.
No, I don't think, I think you're putting too much on yourself. I mean, that doesn't, how is that your fault for not being into it?
Because maybe I'm too much of a diehard Harrison Ford fan even.
It's like, quite possible.
Because to me, I mean, I had pictures of him all over my room.
Stand-ups. You had a cardboard cutout.
Stand-up. So like, Han Solo is my favorite character in Star Wars, other than Princess Leia. So I guess it was a little hard to even grab me because it wasn't Harrison Ford. Because I think that what makes Han Solo is Harrison Ford.
I can totally respect
that. So, like, everything from his appearance, which I think, you know, was delightful, to his personality, I wasn't on board because I am so in love with Han Solo.
Okay.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Harrison Ford,
Han Solo. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, okay, so I'm gonna...
I don't need a cheap knockoff.
Cheap knockoff? That is hard.
Yeah.
That is...
I'll say it.
That is rough. That is a shiv to this actor.
That's fine.
Between
He's
the
not
ribs.
Harrison Ford.
Now, okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, though. So you read a lot of the novels growing
up. I did. Right. I did.
And a lot of them were Han Solo-centric.
Yes, because I was kind of obsessed with Leia and Han and their relationship. A lot of the ones I read were ones Han and Leia had gotten together, and obviously they're not canon anymore.
It doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter because they were beautiful and they had children and they had force abilities and everything like that.
We force too much on the emphasis on canon. I don't care. If it's a good story, it's a good story.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So my question to you is, and this, there is no right or wrong answer in this. Like, I'm not trying to go like, aha! Like, nothing like that. I'm not one of those,
okay,
those D-bags. My question to you is like, so when you read those novels.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not Harrison Ford, you know, like in the novel, it's just a representation of Han Solo. Is it because you see Harrison Ford in your head and you get to imagine whatever world?
Yes. But I think that also, I mean, we had Harrison Ford as a reference point in those novels as well. It wasn't like we're it wasn't like Han Solo existed before that. So Harrison Ford is the person that you're going to imagine when you read those novels. And even like, so when I read it, yeah, that's what I saw. And that's definitely the essence that I got. And it's also different. A novel is a little bit different than on screen.
Oh, of course. Of course it is.
So,
it very much is. I was honestly just trying to go through that thought process because for me, one of my favorite Star Wars book series is Jedi Apprentice, which is a young adult series. And it's the adventures of Qui-Gon Jinn and a young Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. Like, younger than what we saw in Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. So when I read those books, I wasn't picturing Ewan McGregor. And
okay. So
like, I was picturing a young Ewan McGregor which, you know, we don't know what that looks like. A 12-year-old, 13-year-old Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
Like, we don't know what that looks like. And so I was able to picture whomever in my mind.
Okay.
And so I was just kind of wondering, like, is that why I'm able to kind of do that with this Han Solo, where I'm just like, oh, it's fine. Like, this is just a one-off. This is like, we need a younger actor. So I guess I can just accept it more because I'm just like, oh, well, we can't have Harrison Ford.
Well, maybe also you just are more accepting of that, of like the new too, because for me, I was thinking to myself, well, I was thinking like of a young Alec Guinness. So I wasn't necessarily thinking of Ewan McGregor because I in my own way, almost void those movies in my head, I think, to protect myself. So I feel like, to me, and again, I think that that's part of my problem with seeing some of these new ones, is because I can't get past it. Like, to me, the original 4, 5, 6 are just perfect. So I just can't get past the others.
Well, maybe that's not a fair comparison from me, because Ewan McGregor is already the young version of Alec Guinness.
That's true.
So I'm already separating that in my mind.
So it's essentially like this new version of Solo.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. And I like the prequels more than you do.
Yes.
But I recognize that they get bad in places, more places than not. So maybe I'm able to divorce myself of the originals already because of that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't even know what we were talking about anymore. The openings, it was, I don't want to say they grabbed me. It was just kind of like the rhythm of the opening scene convinced me to stay.
Okay.
I know that's the same thing as grabbed. but to me, I was just kind of like, okay, they're doing this kind of style right off the bat. This is probably what the rest of the movie is going to be. I was like, this is a heist movie. This is, this is a movie that's going to have a lot of action sequences in between. And I was just kind of like, just kind of thrill me, fulfill me, you know, kind of thing.
Okay. So you were more on board.
I was more on board right off the bat. I was telling myself, let go. Just let go. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. To me, this wasn't a bad film. Like, you say mediocre and you didn't like it. I say mediocre and I did like it.
Okay. See, I knew walking out, I knew that you liked it.
Why?
Just because I can tell. I know you very well. I can tell when you're at least somewhat satisfied. Even if you didn't love the film. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you get a little bit more fulfillment out of it. Like, you can find a little bit more, where sometimes I have a little harder time finding that fulfillment. I mean, that could kind of change film to film for sure. But, and especially like expectation wise, like, I think you went in with the right expectations.
You are
maybe I had more hangups.
You definitely had more hangups than I did. And you are definitely harder to please than I am.
Yes.
You are a little bit tougher nut to crack, because if you give me a good time and a good story, great. But you were just like, no, I not only need a good time and a good story, I need Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, like, it was, you know, like, even saying mediocre, like, I do feel like it was just okay. Like, I'd say it's better than mediocre. It's just okay. It was fun. It was cool in parts. But honestly, I don't feel like I ever need to see it again.
Okay. We'll see what happens when it comes to purchase, because sometimes you change your mind.
I do. Sometimes I do change my mind, where like, I'll purchase it, or I mean, like, although, you know, like, so many Disney films have been coming to Netflix so fast. Sure. I mean, like, we're getting The Last Jedi on Netflix next month in June.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
That's true. All right, so you don't feel like you need to see it. Do you think that the audience needs to go see it?
Oh, geez. That's a tough one.
I think if you're a Star Wars fan, then you're loyal to the franchise, so why not go see it?
Right.
But if you're not a Star Wars fan, then why would you go see it?
It's a big, fun thing to see on the big screen. But if you need to save your money, or if you want to put it towards something else.
Go see Infinity War.
Yeah, go see Infinity War again, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think, I honestly, I feel like you could rent this one.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Me too.
Okay.
Okay.
It's funny that we're saying the same things, but coming at it like
different ways.
Like, and I liked it, and I didn't. All right, so let's go ahead and get into spoiler territory.
Okay.
All right.
So you've been warned.
You've been warned. Spoilers from here on out. Spoiler territory. Okay. So, what was one of your favorite things about it? Like, did you have a favorite thing?
Chewbacca and Han Solo. I think that was my favorite relationship, but I didn't think they explored it too terribly, like emotionally too much. I liked seeing them together.
I might disagree with that one a little bit. Yeah. I mean, because we got to see their introduction.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was unique.
And like, it was funny, like right when they threw him in the pit and they're like, oh,
you knew it was
Chewie. Like, we haven't fed him in 3 days. I was just like, we're going to see Chewie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it's not like you're going to see a Rancor. Right.
There was a couple of moments like that where I did get some of those nostalgic moments where I'm like, we're going to see Chewie, or, oh, it's the Millennium Falcon.
You know, okay.
Like, there was, they got me there. Like, those moments, I was just kind of like, cool. But yeah, like seeing Chewie and them getting together, although I did roll my eyes pretty hard when Han started speaking
like a Wookiee. Like, that didn't happen in
the originals.
So like him like making that sound, I was kind of like, really?
And the whole
that bothered me.
The whole shtick is that the human vocal cords can't make those sounds.
Right.
So he can understand them, but he can't speak. It was weird.
Yes.
It would have been a great scene and a perfect meeting if they just kind of left that a little bit out.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, it could have been the same surprise where, like, maybe, like, he roars a little bit and then Han responds and, you know, and Chewie's just, you know, like, kind of an inquisitive and he's just like, yeah, I can understand you.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing.
But I did appreciate, like, when they weren't going to leave each other behind, and the place where they showered in the same shower, that was really funny.
That was funny awkward.
Yeah, that was funny awkward. And
like, you see these human these bare human legs and then these furry ones.
Yeah, and that was funny. I liked that part. What did you think about Han having a love interest, Kira?
I liked it at the beginning.
Okay.
Like, I was just kind of like, oh, cool.
I did too.
I was just like, you know, he wasn't born a monk. He's a ladies' man.
Right.
You know, and it's not like Princess Leia is going to be the only woman in his life. And
see, I kind of feel like Han is more like a James Bond person, though. I didn't really think that Han would be tied down other than by Leia. So, in my opinion, I always felt like he just kind of had a girl in every port.
Maybe this is the reason.
Versus, like, what?
Maybe this is the reason why he's that way. Because he got burned so bad with her.
Maybe. But I kind of would have liked to seen a little bit more of that.
I get that.
Where he's more of a little bit of a playboy.
Swagger.
Yeah. Versus, you know, I think it takes a little bit away from maybe the Leia relationship in my mind. Where it's like, he was willing, you know, to do whatever it took to get back to her.
Because he had that first love.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that you can't have a first love to have a second love. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you already know that he's going to find Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've ruined all that when they went to
The Force Awakens.
But I just felt like that wasn't his personality, in my opinion. I felt like he was much more like, I won't be tied down, and this is just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds Leia. So
I get that a lot.
So it felt like it betrayed the character a little bit for me.
I think with that, like, I was on board with the love story because of the emotional gut punch that was them getting separated.
And that's kind of the part that had you there at the beginning?
Yeah. That's the part that I was referencing earlier where I was just like, the action sequence was fun, but it didn't grab me that much. But then I felt something, even though I knew they were going to get separated.
Yeah.
We all knew they were going to get separated.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when he passed on the dice, and I'm just like, okay, well, like, she's right. That's going to give
gonna
her
come back.
Like, that gives her the opportunity to give it back later on. Like,
right.
We all know how movies work. But for some reason, I was just, even though I saw it coming, it still hurt. And I was just like, oh, that's an emotional hook. Cool. You got me.
Okay.
But Emilia Clarke, she had no chemistry with Han Solo.
No. It almost felt like she was pushing him away from kissing her, like, at the time. I was
so
like,
weird.
This is weird. This doesn't feel natural.
What's the age difference between the two of them? I mean, I know that she's not old, but she just seemed older than him. I don't know.
Really?
Am I wrong?
I didn't really feel that too much. Okay. But
it's just I've yet to see her do anything good.
All the Game of Thrones fans are just gonna like.
Oh, I'm sure. Destroy you. She might be great in Game of Thrones. I don't know. She was fine in season one of what I saw. She was fine. But then like I saw her in Terminator Genesis. We all know how that happened, or how that went down. And then I saw her in this. I was just like, she was just a vacuum to me in the scenes.
I thought she was better than Jyn Erso though.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Dishwater.
That's not a very high bar.
Yeah, Jyn Erso was dishwater, and maybe Emilia Clarke was just the rag that went in the dishwater. I don't know. It's just
I don't know where that analogy went. I was gonna say that just sounds wrong.
I'm gonna just scrap that and just say I didn't like it.
Okay.
No, I just like I mean, I thought she was serviceable, but in a Star Wars film, like I don't want any bland characters.
Yeah, and like. If she, okay, so if she is like a spy and like playing both sides, which we eventually find out, it just felt like we should feel that a little bit more. Whereas it just kind of, towards the end, it just kind of felt like it was a decision she made on the fly.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm going to double cross you. No, I'm going to double cross him. I'm going to double, triple cross you.
Oh, that was my least favorite part of the whole film. That was where they were just, I was just like, when is this going to be done? I was just like... Just get him the Millennium Falcon. Just please give him the Millennium Falcon and be done with this.
I was surprised that they gave him the Millennium Falcon at the end of the movie. Like, the way that it was structured.
I knew they had to.
Well, I just...
But it felt like an add-on scene.
It felt like a post-credit scene.
Yeah, is what it did. It totally did.
And it was weird how that was structured, because the way that the movie was going, I was just kind of like, oh, well, they're not going to give him the Millennium Falcon because maybe they're going to make, like, another one or something like that. But... With this one, it just felt like a total add-on, like, oh, wait, the movie's done. We got to hurry up and do this.
Yeah, it totally did.
Yeah.
It totally did. That's where I felt like the structure was just, when we had the double cross, I was just like, you've lost me. You have lost me. And then what about the Darth Maul situation?
That kind of got ruined for me. That's one of those things. Yeah.
Okay.
Which, whatever.
Did you care?
Well, I love Darth Maul.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I want to tell this story, and I want to shame the person who did it. because he's on this network. Mike Schindler, if you're listening, I'm shaming you. No, here's the thing. It's like, the only reason why it was spoiled was because I know how Mike Schindler thinks. Like, he did not send out a spoiler, but I know how this guy, I know how his mind works. You know, like, I've podcasted with him for years now, like, it's like on the same network. But okay, so here's the thing. What he did was, I was scrolling on Twitter, which I totally shouldn't have done hours before the movie.
That's your own fault.
Yeah, that is my own fault. But he randomly tweets out Savage Opress. That's what he randomly tweets out. Savage Opress, period. That's what it is. Savage Opress is Darth Maul's brother. And Darth Maul's brother and Darth Maul was in the Clone Wars cartoon. Mike Schindler hated the Darth Maul storyline in Clone Wars. He hated that Darth Maul came back in the Clone Wars series and had robo legs. He thought the whole thing was preposterous. He just absolutely despised it. And he also hates that he has a brother named Savage Opress, which means savage oppressor.
I will agree with him there.
And so when he tweeted that out, Savage Opress, I was like, we're going to get a Darth Maul nod in the solo film.
Okay.
And so
I didn't know where it was going to happen.
I didn't know what.
Okay.
But I knew that was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
I even tweeted him. I said, I was like, did you just spoil something for me? And he's like, no, I just remembered that Savage Opress is a name in the Star Wars universe. Anyway, when Darth Maul popped up, I was kind of like, this is weird. This is odd. I mean, like, they're tying back to the prequels. They're tying back to the Clone Wars, like they did with Rogue One. They're trying to make it feel like one cohesive universe. So I respect it. I thought it was... I know why they did it, because it was way out of left field. Like, no one would think, Han Solo, Darth Maul. Like, no one connects those two. But it didn't really work for me.
I think it didn't work with that character.
Yeah.
Because... I think I would have understood it more with, was it Crimson?
Crimson Dawn.
Dawn, I think I would have understood that maybe more.
Well, he was with Crimson Dawn. He was Crimson Dawn.
Okay, okay. But what I'm saying is like, I didn't, I guess with Emilia Clarke's character,
Kira,
it just, they're like, all she said the entire movie is like, I've done things.
That's true.
And
like, what have you done?
Yeah. And then it was like, and then we have like Darth Maul pop up and it, like, it was just, it just felt very random that this character would be connected.
And why did he activate his lightsaber?
There was no reason. It was like, just to have a lightsaber in a movie.
Just to remind you.
No, it's still Star Wars.
Yeah, like I'm Darth Maul. Remember, I had a twin-bladed lightsaber.
It was, yeah. There was no point to that.
There was no point
there
to
was
it.
There was no point to that.
And that was his brother's lightsaber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Savage Opress.
Gosh. Okay. what did you think about L3?
I loved L3 for the most part.
She immediately got exhausting to me.
So that's the thing, is that I have this dichotomy of relationship with all the characters. To go back to Emilia Clarke real quick.
Yeah.
Do you know who is way more charismatic and would have been way more fun? Tandy freaking Newton.
Oh my gosh, they got rid of her immediately. I had more emotional connection to her.
Yeah, me too.
Then... Yeah.
She was interesting.
Emilia Clarke.
She was interesting.
I was just like...
She was fun.
Yes. She had...
I wanted to
she
find
was
out
cool.
More.
Like, yeah. Ugh.
So that one really pissed me off. I was like, you don't throw away Tandy Newton.
No.
Especially not at the height of her Westworld powers.
Right? I thought the same thing. I was just like, no, she's a cool character. She's, you know, an outlaw. She's working with... And like, I was kind of intrigued by the Woody Harrelson relationship there.
Yeah,
like, it was a weird relationship, but I was kind of like, okay,
let's see where this is going.
All right. Like, and I felt something when she died. Like,
yeah.
Not a lot, because we didn't get much of her. But
I also liked Woody Harrelson's reaction when she died, though.
Yeah.
That was good acting.
That
I know
was.
That Woody Harrelson is a good actor, but the thing is, when somebody dies in a film, you always get the, no!
Yeah.
But it's always so boilerplate.
Yeah.
With him, for some reason, I was just like, ooh, there was something behind that.
Yeah.
There was,
no, I felt that too.
There was a
like,
little,
there was history.
Yeah.
There was history there.
There was there.
Yeah.
L3, going back to L3. I wanted to like L3, and I did like L3, but I feel like it was an odd social justice thing that they tried to tie into. Like, it was like, because so much social justice is happening online and in the times that we
liberate the machines.
Yeah, in the times that we live in, like we live in such turbulent times revolving around social justice,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge positive, which I am very much in support of. But it felt like a weird link, and it felt like when Lando asked her, "Do you need anything?" And she's like, "Equal rights." You're like, oof,
that's when I rolled
really?
My eyes. I was like,
that's a weird thing to say. At that moment,
it felt shoehorned.
Yeah, there you go. That's
well
put.
It felt shoehorned in, and it also felt like even though they were trying to make her interesting, she felt one note to me. So that's where they lost me. Was like,
and then they got rid of her,
and then they killed her. And like, what was the Rogue One droid?
K2SO.
I liked him more than L3.
Yeah.
And I know going in, you were really excited to see L3 because you were like, oh, it's not like she seems really cool. She seems more like, you know, human. And
she seems like a real personality.
Right, exactly. Which she was. But like I said, it was one note.
Yeah.
It was like she had one track mind.
I feel like you're talking about one note. I feel like a lot of the characters were one note.
Yeah.
Now that you talk about it, like L3 was one note. Tandy Newton didn't even get a chance to be a note.
Yeah.
Emilia Clarke was one note. It was like, oh, I've done things. I'm going to push you away, but I'm going to bring you back. But I've done things. I'm going to push you away again.
Yeah.
Like, that was her note. And then, like, Tobias was just kind of like, I'm trudging along, you know.
Yeah.
And Lando, as cool, and I mean that, cool, as Lando was, it was one note. It was, hey, audience.
Yeah.
I'm Lando.
I'm Lando. You know me. Later on.
Like, hey, scene number two. Audience, did you forget? No, you didn't.
Like,
because
I definitely,
I'm Lando.
I definitely, like, felt him being Lando. Like, I felt like he did a good job. But I also felt like there could have been a little bit more for him to do.
I think he was lived up too much. I feel like we got him in the trailer and everybody latched onto him immediately.
We love Donald Glover. Like, if you haven't checked out his comedy special, like, you really should, because it's
he's hilarious. His stand-up is hilarious.
He's like Jared Leto talented,
because
he can sing and
he can sing,
act.
He can rap, he can do comedy, he
like,
can act.
Like, what does he not do?
Yeah.
But
handsome.
I just felt like it was lived up a little bit too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the public's fault.
Yeah, it's probably true. But I also think it's the script's fault, because I didn't think that they gave him a lot to do. Like, he was just hanging out in the ship while they were all, like, fighting.
That was pretty interesting. Like, I fell victim to how movies work with this one. I feel like there was a lot of predictability with this movie, because here's the thing. Like, the Millennium Falcon wasn't Han's yet. It was Lando's, and the first mate was L3.
Right.
And so when they landed on Kessel, I was like, oh, it's Kessel. He's going to do the Kessel run. That they're going to retcon what parsec means and why it means what
exactly.
It means. And that's a big joke.
Yes.
You know, like, we all get it. That's fine.
Yes. But that's a huge part of Han.
Lando can't be the one to make the Kessel run, so it has to be Han. Well, why would Han fly the ship? Well, Lando has to be taken out of commission. Well, if Lando's taken out of commission, then L3 has to be taken out of commission.
Right. You have to get rid of those characters.
So as soon as they mentioned Kessel, I was just like, they're going to kill L3 and Lando's going to get wounded.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. It's just like, so there was no mystery on anything.
A part that bothered me is, like, once like he was flying and, you know, trying to make the Kessel run and everything like that, and like, Kira sits down, and then she, like, looks at the controls like she has no idea what she's doing. And then she's like, okay, Chewie, you get in the, like, that bothered me. I was like, well, why did you sit there in the first place?
And Han said, like, you want to be my co-pilot.
Yeah, but if she couldn't do it, she should be like, I'm not a pilot.
Yeah.
Sorry. Peace out.
This is a tense situation.
Yeah,
maybe you should have somebody here who knows
maybe
what they're
you should,
doing.
You know, yeah. It was weird to me.
That, although, even though Lando, like, everyone keeps screaming for, like, a Lando spinoff. No.
We do not need a Lando
spinoff. We don't. We didn't. If we didn't need a Han Solo spinoff, we don't need a Lando spinoff.
No.
And just the thing is that, like, even though I thought Lando was cool and I liked him, there was the amount that we got him in the movie was the only amount that I could take of
That's
that
true.
Character.
I will agree with you there. Honestly, I probably could have kept him just at the gambling table.
Really? Even
yeah.
less.
Well, I'm not saying, like, I like Donald Glover, but I think that, honestly, all we really need him for is...
The ship.
The ship.
To get the ship.
Yeah.
I get that. I don't know if I agree with it, but I understand it.
Like, I guess you do need a little bit more history for them to be, like, angry at each other.
Yeah.
Like, the tension that you get at Cloud City. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know.
They
didn't give him much to do to actually be a part of the story.
I did like him risking his life for L3, and I liked his reaction with L3's death scene. I did like that dynamic. That kind of showed a little bit of Donald Glover's chops, that it's beyond just comedy.
Sure.
But yeah, it was just kind of like, not a lot to do. Everyone keeps getting killed off, so it's hard to get invested with these characters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, we knew that Tobias was going to turn.
Yeah.
Because, like,
immediately.
He, like, whenever somebody says, don't
trust
anybody,
that means you don't trust me.
Yeah. Like, you don't trust that person. We all saw Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. We all know how that went down.
Right.
And it's like, we didn't have enough. Like, with Rogue One, we, even though they were kind of bland characters, at least we spent time with them to get invested towards the end.
I think so. And they were doing something, like, I felt more invested from the very beginning with those characters, even though I will again say that, sadly, Kira was a more interesting Kira than Jyn Erso. I still cared what happened to that group of people and their cause. But I wasn't really invested in anyone. I think that was my problem with this film. And I feel like, I mean, you said that you felt like the structure was okay, but I just felt like, yes, it was a heist film, but I feel like we kept making too many turns. Like I feel like sometimes simplicity is a beautiful thing. And I felt like, especially towards the end, it felt like they were just going wherever. And like I you know, we had talked about how there was rewrites to the script.
Lots.
Did you feel rewrites?
I was able, I kind of forgot about it.
Really?
I forgot about it as it was going on. I was able to kind of forget.
I guess I kind of hung up on it. I don't know.
I can feel like a lot of people were. Yeah. Like, I would, like, I don't want to lie to you. Like, I could lie to you and say, like, oh, yeah, I could definitely sense that. You know, like.
And you didn't.
I didn't, okay. Really. Yeah, okay. I didn't. Paul Bettany felt like, I think the only thing that I really felt from the rewrites was Paul Bettany. I felt like he was grabbed off of the lot. Like, he was on, I felt like he was on Disney's lot. And they're just like, oh, you just got done shooting Infinity War? Come here. We need you real quick. Just read the script. Here you go.
I can kind of see that. Yeah, those scenes were probably the weakest, I would say. And like that one scene where, you know, Kira like changes her mind several times. That one really just bothered me. That was my least favorite scene probably.
What is your favorite scene? Was it the train robbery?
Yeah, train robbery was my favorite. What did you think about the pirates becoming rebellion?
Oh, yeah, unnecessary storyline.
Yeah, right? That's where I felt like the structure got messed up, because I was just like, it was fine for it to be like an obstacle with the train heist.
Yes.
But then when they came back and then they were like all of a sudden the good guys... It felt very strange to me.
It was a layer we didn't need.
No.
And I feel like something else could have been concocted, like, to add to the stakes of Paul Bettany and everything like that. Like, maybe Tobias really does turn on them, so he takes all the profits or something like that. And
right.
They have to come up with a reason. Right. You know, something
it,
like
it,
that.
It felt very, like, and honestly, I was just like, why aren't you shooting each other right now? Like, they heard them out. Like, you know, it felt very strange.
And when that woman Marauder took off her helmet... And then there was that big reveal. I was just like, who?
Yeah, it felt like we were supposed to know who this character was, or it was going to be like a character we've seen before.
Yeah.
Or like a, you know, like, but it wasn't.
But, and it was really weird because I was like, that Marauder is mixed heritage. And so I was just like, wait, is that like Woody Harrelson and Tandy Newton's daughter or something?
Like, yeah, I thought there was going to be a connection, like her saying, oh, hello, father, or something like that. But there wasn't, not that we needed that type
of connection.
No, we
did not need that.
We did not need that. But I'm just saying, like,
it was framed that way.
Yeah, or, like, I just felt like, why didn't you make it some type of, like, Easter egg for the fans of, like, Clone Wars or something like that? Or, you know, some type of thing where it is a character that you've seen in an like a book or something.
That would have been a much better Easter egg and reference to the Clone Wars than what we got with Darth Maul.
Yeah, I think
really
so
would
too.
Have. Like, I feel like the idea of Emilia Clarke like taking the ring was enough.
Yes.
End of scene. Like, she took the ring. She took the mantle. She's a survivor. She's the one who's just like, I came from nothing.
And
now I control this.
Yeah, yeah.
That was enough for me.
That
we
me
didn't
too.
Need Darth Maul.
No.
And then if we got some sort of weird reference, that would have been the moment with the Marauders.
Mm-hmm.
But without that reference, without that link, it felt misplaced. It felt like, do we know her? Do we care? I don't. Okay, this is weird. It felt like an added complication that did not need to be there.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I think out of everything, that was the biggest thing to me where I was just like, this doesn't fit.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
That needs to be cut.
Completely. Yeah. There was a lot of that where I was like, do we need that? Do we need that scene?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long film for what it was. Didn't you feel?
Like, one place said it was 2 hours and 25 minutes. Box Office Mojo said it was 2 hours and 15 minutes. I don't know. It could have been trimmed down.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I'm also really surprised that the first two Star Wars standalone films are both heist films.
Yeah. You wonder, like, is that an easier format?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's the MacGuffin. It's the
It's that
goal. It's that drive.
Yeah.
They're all going towards something, and it's easy to understand.
I guess, have we learned about that substance before in other? No. Okay.
No.
Because that was confusing to me as well as a Star Wars fan, because I kept racking my brain, and obviously I just asked you. You know, is this something that is valuable from the universe that we know? Like, do we know that this is something that we need to capture?
I personally don't. There might be some.
Yeah, if you are a better Star Wars fan than we are, please let us know that, you know.
Like, maybe there was a reference in the novels or the comic books or something like that. I'm sure maybe. But like when
I feel like it needs to be something. If you're going to do a heist film, make it something that we all know and care about.
It was funny because like the opening, like right when the movie started, when it said a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, they give a couple of lines to kind of set up the universe. And then it said that like, oh, there's a crime syndicate that deals with this and hyperfuel. I'm like, oh, it's going to be about hyperfuel. I was like, I've never heard of hyperfuel before.
Right. So that's where we're going to have it. Yeah.
I didn't even know we needed hyperfuel. That's true. But they kept talking about how they did say that. We have heard in films where they're just like, oh, we need to go fuel up or stuff like that.
What did you think
but
about how L3 kind of makes the Millennium Falcon a little bit different than... I thought that was kind of cool.
I liked that they integrated her in so that she died but didn't really.
Right.
And also, like, it makes a little bit more sense when Han says, no, I need C-3PO to talk to the Falcon.
Yes.
Like, oh, that adds a little weight to it. It was just like, oh, you know.
I liked that too.
They're talking to L3.
I felt like it was a little bit more like, you know, it made it special. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just a ship. It's a special ship. And there's a reason why he's so in love with the Millennium Falcon.
And it was interesting, like, they beat the crap out of the Falcon. And then it looks like the biggest hunk of junk in the galaxy. Yeah. The fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
Exactly.
And so it kind of gets it to that place. I did... At first, I didn't like that. Like, when I first saw what they did to the Falcon, like...
And then they put the hyperfuel in and...
Yeah, when they made it different.
Oh,
like,
okay.
When they first started showing the trailer for the film, I was just kind of like, I don't like that. It's different. I don't like change.
Okay, I understand that.
But then it was satisfying when...
It basically became the hunk of junk.
The hunk of junk,
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. All right, so what was your favorite parts? Because I've kind of told you mine.
Like Han and Chewie, yeah. Same as you. Like I just loved Chewie. I thought Chewie was...
Yeah.
I think what I liked about this film, and I think, like, you and I are saying the same things. Actually, we didn't like the same things. We liked the same things, but I liked it a little bit more than you. I think the reason that put me over the edge a little bit more than you is that I really enjoyed that this was a tactile film. This felt like a part of the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
This felt...
Yeah, I can see that.
We need to go here and do this. Chewie, I need you to rip this open so that this works. We need to grab this fuel and inject it here. We need to hit this switch. We need to go to this place.
Okay.
It just felt... It wasn't a bunch of people sitting in a room talking about trade negotiation.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there wasn't... I mean, there was CGI, but the set feels tactile. Mm-hmm. And that's what you...
Grimy.
Yes. It felt... They definitely created the world. I will absolutely give that to them. Actually, each planet. Like, I felt like it had its own voice, which was really good. I even liked some of the callbacks to some... Like, you could see similar uniforms that you've seen later on. Even, like, Lando's one that he uses in Jabba the Hutt's, you know, lair. Like, you could see that, and that was kind of fun.
I like those nods.
Yeah.
It wasn't in your face.
No.
It was just kind of, like, little stuff like that.
Yeah, that part I absolutely did like.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't need to see it again. I feel like it was unnecessary. I felt like it didn't have the emotional connection that I wanted it to for me to get over the fact that it wasn't Harrison Ford.
I think that's the thing, is that like that was your hurdle. It was, this movie better be so good that I forget I need Harrison Ford.
Right. And, you know, I think that a lot of movies can do that. I really do believe that.
2009, Star Trek 2009 did that for me.
I felt that too, because everyone, you know, sees Kirk and Shatner. That's so linked.
Ubiquitous, yeah.
Yeah, and Nimoy and Spock. But I felt like they were creating their own voice. But I also felt like it was more of a reboot versus this is same universe. So it's a little hard to compare.
It's true.
So I was kind of able to accept that more. But you do find that Chris Pine is lovable, whereas I just didn't think that he quite you know, this guy didn't quite make it for me as Han is as much lovable.
I liked
him. You give
him
a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm giving him a pass. I liked him.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right. Well, there you go. So how would you rate this film? Like on a 5-star scale, how would you rate it? You're always so tough on these. I love your ratings.
Because they're mean. Like 2?
2?
Oh, 1.5 to 2?
Whoa, 1.5 to 2. That is so low.
Yeah.
So low.
So low. Yeah, I... Wow. Oh, that part. Hold up.
Oh, the name.
Solo. His name is Han Solo.
I didn't care.
Like, I cared. Honestly, I cared.
Honestly, I didn't care.
I cared. I was dumb. That was a dumb...
Actually, okay, let's talk about that a little bit. Like before we go on to ratings, because we still have a little bit more to say, is...
Clearly.
Like, stuff like that. Like, throwbacks and everything like that. Like, explaining where Han got his gun. Explaining how he got his name. Explaining how he met Chewie. How he got the Falcon. How he won the poker game. And...
Well, that's what you expect.
The dice and everything like
that's
that.
That's
so,
what
like,
you expect.
All that happened in one adventure.
But I feel like if you're gonna have one standalone Han Solo film, you're gonna expect to see a lot of that, you know, retcon where you're like, oh, that's how he did it. Oh, that's how he did it. But I don't know if I don't think you have to always explain everything.
No.
And you know, I guess the only thing I was like glad that they didn't explain how he got his dice too.
That was I would have.
I'm surprised they didn't
actually.
Yeah,
I'm surprised too. I'm like half expected it too. I was just like, oh, you remember you saw that one time
exactly.
in A New Hope.
Yeah, I felt like they were gonna do it with everything at one point, but I that bothered me that his name was Han Solo because like he said, okay, Solo.
Well, okay, so here's the thing though. Here's the thing. Like I know I just said that I didn't care just now, like.
Are you caring now?
No, well, like, I thought something was interesting because, okay, think about it. This, Han is leaving a terrible place.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to get out by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and, like, he doesn't care about his name or he was never given a real name or he's just, like, Han, son of blank.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. But then he goes through a port. And this is okay. You're just randomly getting a name, Corleone. You know,
that's true.
Like Vito Corleone. Like Vito had a real The Godfather had
that's
a real
true.
Last name.
A lot of people coming through.
It was just like
immigration,
the mass immigration to the United States. And also on top of that, with immigration into the United States, many immigrants had no money, and so they went right back on another ship and joined the armed forces.
It's true.
And so this was like Han's immigrant experience and being thrown around, and that's why he became
that's
an
true.
Outlaw. That's why he became a smuggler.
I didn't really see it that way. That's interesting.
That's how I kind of took it. It's just like him getting branded as Solo was just like how Vito got branded as Corleone.
Okay.
And Corleone became a respected name.
Right, right. And he kind of owned the
and
Han
he owned
Solo.
It.
Yeah, I get it.
That's how I took it.
All right. I like that. I like that.
Okay.
My rating is still 1.5 to 2.
And a half to two. That is just. That is hard.
What do you want it to be?
Man. Just like 1.5 though? That's just. That's like Netflix original material. Like that is.
Okay.
Like.
Well, I'll give
Walmart
it,
bargain bin.
No,
bad.
No, that's like a 0.5-star. But.
Hey, go with your instinct.
Well,
like,
I'll say 2 to be generous, but like it wasn't like. A piece of crap. Okay, it wasn't unwatchable.
No, it wasn't.
I just didn't like it. So
one
I'm going to say
star,
2.
You said mediocre. 1.5 stars is not a mediocre film.
Okay, I'll
1.5
2.
Stars is trash.
You're arguing with my score, and I'm going to stand by my 2.
Okay, all
I'll
right.
give it 2.
Give it 2. I would probably say 3 for me. Because
how is that much different?
There is a big difference between 2 and 3. Folks, if you're listening... I want you to write in or find me on Twitter. 2 stars to 3 stars is a big difference. There's maybe not that big of a difference between 3 and 4, but there is a huge difference between
okay.
2 and 3.
Okay, all right. So yours is a 3.
It's a 3. I could potentially see it bumped up to 3.5 if I saw it again and was just like, oh, you know, started connecting with the characters a little bit more.
Okay.
But as of right now, it's a 3.
Okay.
Because I think Deadpool 1 was 3.5 for me and Deadpool 2 was 4. And this one, 3, I think.
Deadpool is so much more enjoyable in this movie.
I don't know why I brought that up just now. It was apples and oranges.
Well, we just watched Deadpool. So.
Yeah, that's probably why we just watched Deadpool. But Rogue One, I couldn't tell you what a rating for Rogue One would be. Probably the same. Probably three for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd say that, yeah, I'd rate this the same as Rogue One. Okay.
So in the Star Wars movies, when we're talking about Star Wars movies, where does this rank for you? Because we talked about Schindler, how it's at the very end for him, right? So where does this fall for you?
This is above Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
This is below the originals, of course.
Well, yeah.
Below Revenge of the Sith. But right around Rogue One. I think I was more disappointed with Rogue One than I was with this film. So I'd have to, I think I'd probably say Solo is better than Rogue One for me.
I think Rogue One's better than me, than for me, than Han
Solo. Rogue One was beautiful. Rogue One was well shot.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great action. This movie was not well shot. This was not well lit.
No, it was not well lit.
This was very underlit. And I understand the opening scene is supposed to be underlit. Right. I get that. I'm talking about the rest of it. Like,
no, it's, yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was the theater or what, but I think it was the movie. But I think from a technical standpoint, Rogue One was better. But from a story and action standpoint, I think Solo was better, in my personal opinion.
I liked Rogue One more.
Okay. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it. There you go, guys. That is our rating. That is our review of Solo, A Star Wars Story. Please let us know what you think.
Yeah, tell us.
Are we off our rockers? Like, was it the greatest movie of all time, or was it absolute garbage, like a 1.5 star movie?
Shut up. I gave it 2.
Please write in. Let us know the questions that you have for us with our relationship or advice or our history or our views, whatever you want. Give us an email by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu and fill out the form.
And tune in next week for our 100th episode.
You won't want to miss it.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.